In today's Mishnah, we're on the 15th and 16th Mishnah and the 24th Perek of Masechta Kelim, which begins Shlosha Praklin in Hen. There are three different types of gloves. The first are Shel Tzadei Chaya V'Of. These are hunters of birds and wild animals. And Mishnah says they are Tame Midras. And importantly, we're mentioning leather gloves. And since the hunters would sit on them or lean on them, therefore they are susceptible to Tumat Midras. However, Shel Chagavim, meaning these gloves of hunters of Chagavim, of locusts or grasshoppers, they are Tamet Memet. And that is because these type of gloves, they wouldn't rest on them, so they're not susceptible to Tumat Midras. However, what these hunters would do is they would actually, at the end, collect the Chagavim and place them inside the glove. So it functions as a kli, as a receptacle, it contains their catch. The Shel Kayatzim, these are special protective gloves that were worn by people with dried out figs. Or another understanding is that they were individuals that would prick their hands with dealing with thorns. Either way you want to understand it, the point is of these gloves, the only purpose, the function they had was to protect the wearer from getting thorns in their hands. So therefore, since it was simply for a protective purpose, that was not enough to define it as being a kli, so therefore it's tahor miklum. It is not susceptible to tumah at all. Let's learn the next Mishnah, Shlosha Svachot Hen. So a svacha, we said, is like a hair net the ladies would wear. So the Mishnah said this svachot, there are three different types. Shel Yalda, those worn by young ladies, they're Tme'a Tumat Midras. They would be fit for sitting on, they would sometimes take them off and place them on a chair in order to sit on them. Shel Zkeina, those that were worn by older ladies, they were fashioned differently, that they weren't fit for that purpose, but it is considered a garment nonetheless, so it's Tme'a Tme'met. It's still considered a kli, albeit not fit for sitting on, so not Tamei Midras. It's interesting here that Tosefta has a reverse, meaning Shel Zekeina, since they wouldn't be as makbid as particular with their svacha, they would sometimes sit on it, therefore theirs are susceptible to Tamei Midras. However, Shealda, for a young girl or a young lady, they would be more particular with their svacha and it wouldn't sit on it, so therefore that's why it's only Tamei Tmemet and not susceptible to Tamei Midras. The next is V'shiyotzet Lachutz. Mishnah says regarding that type of svacha, that is tohora miklum, that is not susceptible to any form of tumah. So one understanding is this is yotzechus, means one that goes outside. So it seemed to be they would place a small, like a sudar, a hanky, or some sort of small piece of cloth on top of their hair, on top of what they were wearing, and when they would go out. That's one understanding. And it was smaller than the shiur, the minimum size of a beged, so therefore it's not susceptible to tumah. Another understanding is yotzet chut refers to a woman of a particular profession. Here we're talking about referring to as zona, a yotzit chutz, meaning a woman that would go out. And that svacha seemed to be not much of a garment that she would place on herself and therefore wasn't defined as a beged. Final understanding, what this yotzit chutz means, it was torn in so many places that the hair would be exposed and hair would fall out of it. Literally the hair would be yotzit lachutz. So either referring to usage, a profession of woman, or the nature of the garment itself, that the hair itself would fall out. In any event, again, whichever way you want to explain it, it didn't really qualify as being a beged at all, and therefore, tahora miklum, it's not susceptible to any form of tumah. Those are the Mishnah today.